Revelation chapter number 1, and we'll look at verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Heavenly Father, thank you for this book, Lord. Thank you for the promises connected to it. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the ability to be able to discern it. And Lord, I believe as the time approaches, more and more light is being shed on this mysterious book. And so, Lord, not only do we see what is written before us, but we stop from time to time and look around us. And we certainly can see that the time is at hand. So, Lord, bless our study of the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Revelation is the last of the 66 books of the Bible. It was the last to be given. It has 22 chapters and 404 verses. And if the Lord tarries, we're going to look at all 404 verses. By the way, this is interesting. Exactly 12,000 words are found in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation finishes what Genesis started. You think about the very first book in the Bible and the importance of that book of first mention, and then the very last book in the Bible. It's interesting to see that Genesis is the cornerstone of the Bible, the first stone laid, and I think Revelation is the capstone on God's pyramid of truth. In Genesis, we see creation of the heavens and the earth. We are given in Revelation, we are given a new heaven and a new earth. In Genesis, we see paradise lost. In Revelation, we see paradise restored. In Genesis, we see man turned away from the tree of life. In Revelation, by the time we get to the end, we see man invited to partake of the tree of life. In Genesis, we see Adam receive his wife, but in Revelation, we see Christ receive his bride. In Genesis, death makes an entrance. But you know what? In Revelation, death makes an abrupt exit. In Genesis, we see Satan the deceiver, but in Revelation, we see Satan the defeated. In Genesis, we see the devil roar like a lion, but by the time we get to Revelation, we see nothing left but a whimper. In Genesis, we find the beginning of sorrows, and in Revelation, we see that God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. In Genesis, we see the rise of Babel, but in Revelation, we see the fall of Babylon. In Genesis, we see evil temporarily drown in the water. In the book of Noah, I'm sorry, the book of Genesis, the story of Noah, but we see in Revelation evil forever banished to a lake of fire. And it's kind of interesting. What Genesis started, Revelation finishes. Jesus declares himself. Yes, the Alpha, yeah, that's the beginning, but also the Omega, that's also the end. He says, yes, I'm the beginning, but I'm also the ending. Revelation reveals our Savior as the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, the word revelation, by the way, notice that it is in the singular form. It is not the book of the revelations. It is the book of revelation, the revelation. The word revelation comes from a Greek word, apokalupos. It is from this Greek word that we get our English word apocalypse. And by the way, think about that. Seems like that is entered in the last 40 years back into the American vocabulary. In today's culture, the word is often and certainly misunderstood. The world uses it to signify the end of the world as we now know it, and Hollywood jumps in and intensifies its production of movies portraying the end of the world through war or famine or a flood or an earthquake or asteroids or zombies or alien invasions and a host of other imaginable and imaginative ideas. You know what, folks? God presents the word apocalypse differently. Yes, the world will cease to exist as we now know it, which is what the word means. But it will be because of an unveiling. because of a revealing of a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The world will see him as they have not ever previously seen him. Think about when he came the first time as opposed to him coming in the book of the Revelation, first in the rapture, but then to set up his millennial reign. In the Gospels, Jesus came in humility and humanity, but in Revelation, he will come to claim the honor he so richly deserves. He came in the Gospels in meekness, but in Revelation, as the Almighty. In the Gospels, he's a lowly lamb, but in Revelation, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In the Gospels, he comes as a sacrifice. In Revelation, as a sovereign ruler. In Genesis, in the Gospels, he came sitting upon a donkey. But boy, in Revelation, you know what? He comes riding a white stallion in from heaven. In the Gospels, he came to be judged by sinners. But in Revelation, he comes to judge the quick and the dead. In the Gospels, he laid aside his glory. But in Revelation, he takes it up again. In Gospels, he comes as a man of sorrow, but in Revelation with a sharp two-edged sword. In the Gospels, he came to save the world, but in Revelation, he comes to rule the world. And you know what? That's exciting. You compare Revelation to Genesis, you compare Revelation to the Gospels, and you certainly see that this truly is a revealing or an unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way we do not see him in any other book. In the Gospels, we see Christ hung on a cross between a superscription that declared him a king. In Revelation, we find him sitting upon a throne worshipped by all as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This book truly is an unveiling of Jesus Christ. We will see his glory revealed. We will see him as the victor. We will see him as the first and the last, he which liveth and was dead, but now proclaims himself as alive forevermore. This book is his victory, his vengeance, and his validation. This last book of the Bible is Christocentric. You say, what does that mean? Every page, every chapter, every verse is given to show the world that in the end, Jesus Christ wins. He wins. And that'll take us now to our very first verse, and we'll read it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So God himself is the author of this book. He then gives it to his son, Jesus Christ, who then gives it to an angel, who then gives it to his servant John. Christ instructs John, think about this, to show it unto the servants of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. This is not a book that will be understood by the lost. This is not a book that will be fully comprehended by someone who is saved but not serving. This book will never mean as much to the casual Christian as it will to the consecrated Christian. It's not written to all the saints, it's written to the serving saints. And let me say this, if you truly know this book, if you're going to understand the book of the Revelation, you must first decide to become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe that God gives special insight to Christians who are serving the Lord when it comes to their interaction with the Bible that a person who does not serve the Lord will never receive. This book will speak of things that must shortly come to pass. This is one of the indicators that we are in the last days, is the growing number of scoffers who mock the Bible because in their minds, God has failed to fulfill his word. You know what? It's easy to say, hey, well, it says here in verse number one, things that must shortly come to pass. And John wrote that over 2,000 years ago. And so here they come, the scoffers shortly come to pass. They might smirk and say, it's been nearly 2,000 years or over 2,000 years since John wrote those words. Yes, in our mind, by the way, by human measure, that seems like an awful long time. But you know what? We do not look at time. God does not look at time the way we look at time. God did not say it would be short in a short time in the minds of finite men. He said it has been but a short time in the mind of an infinite God. 2 Peter chapter 3, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Preacher, why is God putting off sending Jesus back? Because he is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Ignorance sees 2,000 years. God sees less than 2 days. How about that? Think about that. Yeah, in God's mind, it's been a short time. Remember, there's less than 6,000 years of human history so far. It might help all of us to put everything in perspective when we realize that to God, it has been less than a week since he created the heavens and the earth, created the world. It's been less than a week since Genesis 1:1. You know, we sing the song, "O Lord Jesus, how long? How long?" Here we shout the glad song, "Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen." And that's how we feel. That's why we sing it from our heart. But I want to say this. Folks, listen to me. Be patient and don't lose heart. Because what we will study in this amazing book must, the Bible says must, that's what it says there, it must shortly come to pass. That's why I think God had James write these words: "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." And again, folks, what seems like sometimes a long time to us, just a few days to the Lord. Listen, be patient. Stay busy. I know it's easy to become weary in well-doing. If that wasn't a problem, the Bible wouldn't have addressed it. And you know what? I get tired, folks, but you know what? I don't want to ever get weary. I get tired, but I don't want to get weary. You know what? I get tired in the work, but I'd never become weary of the work. I want to separate those things. And here we see the revelation of Jesus Christ. God giving it to Jesus. Jesus giving it to his angel. His angel delivering it to his servant. His servant, John. And by the way, we'll learn more about John in just a minute. Verse number 2. Who bear record of the word of God. Now we're talking about John now. Verse 1 ends by talking about his servant, John. And then, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. And so John gives a little bit of a summarization or a resume of who he is. Why did God choose John? God chose John to be given the responsibility, think about this, and privilege of receiving and recording this very last book of the Bible. And I want to say this, I think God chose very well. This book was to be a revelation of his son, Jesus Christ. And no man on earth was as close to Jesus as the apostle John. 5 times John is referred to as the disciple who Jesus loved. God could not have used John if John did not have a great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, it also mentions the servant John. John proved that love by many years of faithful service. Proved that love by many years of faithful service. John proved that love by being willing to suffer greatly. He endured persecutions. He lived to see or hear of the martyrdom of every one of the other 10 original disciples, and he lived past the beheading of the apostle Paul. By the way, he heard it all, seen it all, and he never quit. He never quit. He was faithful in these 3 areas. Verse number 2, 3 areas. He bore record of the word of God. He heard Jesus Christ. He heard him with his own ears. He bore record of the word of God. He gave testimony that Jesus was indeed the Christ. And he was a faithful witness to share all that he saw Christ accomplish. What a list. What a list. Think about that. Let's let that list be a challenge to each and every one of us. I know we don't have the privilege that John had of walking physically beside the Lord, but we can still walk with Jesus. You know what? Let's be faithful to this book. John was, then we can be. Let's be faithful to share our testimony. John did it when he had to risk his life to do it. But you know what? He didn't shut up.
Amen.
Let's be faithful to share with others what God has been done in your life, what you've been blessed to see God do. Let's just take that verse number 2 and say, you know what? If that's John's resume, Lord, by God's grace, please, by your grace, help it to be my resume at the end of my life. Again, John did these things faithfully during a time of great persecution. The church suffered greatly during the life of John. The Roman emperor, Domitian carried out the third great Roman persecution of the church. By the way, this was in the latter years of John's life. He not only declared war on the church, he declared war on Jesus Christ. Literally declared war on Jesus Christ to remove and to snuff out mention of his name. And this is the environment of John's faithful service during the last half of his life. By the way, this crazed Roman emperor, you know, for 2 solid years, he took 24 months, and he carried out a short but vicious attempt to exterminate what they called this new way. In those 24 nightmare months, over 40,000 Christians were tortured and martyred. This is how John lived the last part of his life. By the way, it was under his reign that John was first boiled in oil and then banished to Patmos. John was not just willing, boy, I want you to get this, let it sink in. John was not just willing to serve Christ, he was willing to suffer for Christ.
Right.
Let's just stop and take some stock here, okay? As we enter the time of the coming, the near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, we're going to read prophecies of the promise of increased persecution that'll come in the last of the last days. I think every American Christian needs to evaluate, just ask ourselves some very, very simple questions. I think sometimes we need to go stand and look in the mirror and say these questions to ourselves out loud. Am I a servant of Christ?
Come on.
Am I a servant? Come on, it said John was. It said this book was for the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I a part of that? Am I a servant of Christ? How about this? Am I willing to suffer for Christ? And maybe this third question. And if I am asked to suffer, will I still be willing to serve? I think we better settle these things before it gets real. Okay, am I a servant or not? And if I'm not, then I want to get busy. I want to join that brigade. I want to be a part of that blessed group. But you know what? Not only am I willing to serve, am I willing to suffer? And by the way, if I have to suffer, will I quit serving? Or am I willing to suffer and still serve the Lord Jesus Christ? That brings us to verse number 3. Blessed, isn't this a wonderful promise? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And so this is the only book, by the way, this is the only book in the Bible that begins with a blessing and ends with a blessing. Verse number 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Revelation 22, in the very last chapter, it also ends with a blessing. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So it almost bookends the book. At the very beginning, God says, hey, you know what? If you'll just read this book, I will send extra blessings into your life. Think about that. If you're willing to hear the words of this prophecy, I will bring extra blessings into your life. But wait a minute. Are you willing to keep those things which are written therein? I'll even bring more blessings into your life. Now think about that. The word blessed is a sacred word in the Bible. The first recorded word of the first recorded sermon of Jesus Christ was the word blessed or blessed. The blessing of God is the special favor of God upon man. The special favor of God upon man. The word blessed carries with it a responsibility. As you studied that word, and I've encouraged our church, I think every Christian ought to do a word study on the word blessed from Genesis to Revelation and see everywhere it's mentioned and write down everything that God says he'll bless. And then you know what? If I was you, I'd do all those things. I just fall in line. I mean, the preacher said I'd get under the spout where the glory comes out. Well, it just seems like that person is God's favorite. Stay with me. There are people that are favored by God. There are people that are favored by God. Now think about this. God loves everyone. That's equal. God extends mercy and grace to everyone. Hallelujah. That's equal. But God's extra blessings are reserved for those who God favors above others. We say, preacher, that's not fair. I know, we live in the society of that's not fair. But wait a minute, it is fair. God makes it fair. You know why? Because God is no respecter of persons, so this special favor is available to everyone. But we must meet the conditions of the promised blessings. And I mean this. You know what? If you haven't done this in your life, then I think I would do that. I mean, even if the motivation is selfishness, I'd still encourage you to do that word study. You know, if God says in his word, and he promises in his word, that if you'll do this, I will bless you, and you collect all of those promises, and then you incorporate all those things into your life, do you think God is not going to keep his word? By the way, that doesn't mean you'll never face something difficult. Everybody in here faces difficult things, not because of God's shortcomings, but because of our sinfulness. Come on. There's consequences. Come on. There's this world lives underneath the curse. Don't ever think when somebody's going through a tough time, well, they must not be right with God, or that God must be mad at them. No. Hey, you know what? I think people that think that about others move themselves to the front of the line. You might just be next, okay? And so pray for others. But it's inarguable that God has favorites. And you know his favorites are? The people that obey the Bible. The people that obey the Bible. Here's the promise. God will show special favor to those who hold this specific book. This is just one of the promises. If you'll hold this specific book in high regard. Come on, if someone is willing to read it and is willing to hear it and willing to obey the things written therein, then God promises right here. Come on, it's right there. Verse number 3, special blessings upon that child of God. Why should we make a special place in our lives for the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ? By the way, I think especially in this generation, because of that last phrase, for the time, come on, for the time is at hand. And so right now, folks, I would move Revelation way up the reading list in your priorities. We talked about reading it. We talked about hearing the word of this prophecy. I know your preacher said this before. I wonder how many's done it. Okay. Hey, if your preacher's encouraging you to do something, you might consider doing it. All right. I think every single Christian ought to take a space and time in your life. And I think you ought to get the Bible. You can get it on an app on your phone. Right. And you know what? You can push that button and have the book of Revelation read to you. And I think everybody ought to sit down and listen to Revelation read from chapter 1, verse 1 to the very last verse in one sitting. Just listen to the thing read. Now, there's a lot of reasons you ought to do that. And by the way, this would be a good chance, good opportunity, if you haven't done that, to do it. Because we're going to be studying it. There's a lot of things you'll benefit from. There's something about listening to this entire prophecy, this entire book written from start to, or read from start to finish out loud, as you concentrate and think through and imagine it, that will change you in a way that I don't know if there's too many other things I could recommend. But I will say this too, another reason to do it, there's a blessing connected with it. See, he said, not only will he that readeth, but they that hear the words of this prophecy. I think if you'll just make special effort to be here faithfully on Sunday nights as we preach through it, I think God will give you added blessings, okay? And that's not a trick to get you here. That's just a fair interpretation of the scripture that lies in front of us. And why should we focus specially on this book right now? For the time is at hand. Interacting with this book will remind you of so many things. Folks, we're going to be in for a treat. It will remind you of Christ's soon return. It'll put that back in the forefront of your mind. It'll keep you from falling in love with this world. Because you know what? By the time we get to the end of the story, you're going to watch this world burn down with a fervent heat. So why in the world are we so enthralled by the things of this world? It will prepare you to face the things that will come with living in the last of the last days. Now, this book is going to toughen us up a little bit. It needs to toughen us up. Because you know what? We need to get ready. We need to get mentally ready, emotionally ready, spiritually ready, physically ready. Because you know what? There's going to be some testings. And I don't think America is going to get a free, no persecution exemption if any country right now in the world seems like they're pushing themselves to the front of the line. concerning the things that we're doing and becoming. When it comes to God's judgment, it may be American. And there's no promise in the Bible. You can't bring me a promise. I know we're not going to go through the great tribulation, but that does not mean that we will not face a measure of tribulation. And so, you know what? It'll make you aware of those things. It will keep you looking and praying and loving Christ's imminent return. This book will cause you to fear God. Man alive, it'll make us fear God. It will teach you to number your days. And to remember that our enemy, think about this, our enemy, the devil, his days are numbered.
That's right.
It will help you to keep current events in perspective. And we will be from time to time pulling things right out of the headlines of the newspapers and laying them right beside King James Holy Bible and say, what do you think about that? So what can I have you to do to prepare for this? Read it, hear it read. Okay, hear the prophecy of this book. Hear the prophecy of this book. 19 of the 22 chapters will tell you of things that have not yet occurred, things yet to come. One man said this, prophecy is pre-written history. Prophecy is pre-written history. Read it, believing that it will happen. And then the Bible says, and seek to obey it. Let the words of this book change you, change the way you live. I want you to ask you to just really, really let the Holy Spirit speak to you as we just plod through this book. I think that there's going to be certain services and certain subjects and certain times where, you know what, we just all stand before God and stop and say, Lord, we need you to change us because of this. And so I'm looking forward to studying it with you. You pray for this preacher as we go through it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we love you. And we want to see you as you will be revealed. And so, Lord, as we do that, may we draw close to you. May we understand you. Lord, may we have a fair and accurate representation of who you truly are. Lord, may it make us, Lord, want to love you more and serve you more. And may we just predetermine to be faithful to you no matter what. Lord, bless the study of this book, we pray in Jesus' name.